All these were with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Let us be of one accord. Father, we pray that we would come to you in one accord in our prayers, that your Spirit might pour upon us as it did on that Pentecost day. Lord, we love you, praise you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be good and pleasing to you, Rock and Redeemer of our souls. Amen. You may be seated. In 1987, I moved across town from Smyrna to Marietta, more specifically the west side of Marietta that we up there we call West Cobb area. My parents had bought a house. We moved from the place that we had been renting for years and finally moved into a neighborhood that my mom and dad were so excited about. One of the things that my parents did religiously, in a good way, is pray for me and my brother that God would bring us new friends that were godly and that were from godly families. And so the first day of school rolled around and I met who became my best friend, a guy named Brett Sharp. You've probably heard me talk about Brett before. I hiked the Appalachian Trail with Brett. I'm his kids' godparents. Brandy and I are his kids' godparents. I love Brett. And God answered those prayers of my parents in a powerful way, because Brett was a Christian man coming from a Christian family. Now, we lived in West Cobb, but Brett's parents had decided to go across town to East Cobb to a big church out there that y'all may have heard of, Johnson's Ferry Baptist Church. It's a huge Baptist church and really one of the most influential churches in the Southern Baptist world. So Brett would go across town to Johnson's Ferry Baptist Church, and I must confess that growing up in the Roman Catholic world, the youth groups at Baptist churches were far better than the youth groups in the Catholic world, and the girls were a lot prettier. And so I would go with Brett to youth group at Johnson's Ferry Baptist Church, and there I met another group of friends. This group of friends, Brett, myself, our friend Chad, who was from West Cobb like us, we started hanging out with a guy named Ross and a guy named JP and another guy named Matt Gross. And we have been friends since then. I go to the lake with these guys every year. We've got a text chain along with a couple of other guys we have added along the way. And we text back and forth, usually weekly, about this or that. And yesterday I had the privilege, the sacred honor, to be able to go over to my friend Matt's parents' house and pray for Matt's dad, who is dying from cancer. I've known Bill for a long, long time. I went on spring break with Matt and his family when I was in high school. Bill is a godly man. He was lying in his bed, hooked to machines, in his bedroom where the curtains were darkened, and it was sacred and holy ground that I was standing on. Matt had invited various friends over, family members. There was about 14 or 15 people there. And we went into Bill's bedroom, and I knelt down beside the bed, and I led them in the ministry to the dying out of the prayer book that we have. They're a bunch of Baptists, but they loved the Anglican liturgy we did. It was a beautiful and wonderful and heartbreaking time. But when I say it was sacred ground, I mean, it was holy and sacred ground. King Jesus was celebrated in that room. There is no chapel anywhere that was more sacred yesterday than that space. In Celtic Christianity, there's this phrase called Quel'Ats. It means thin place. Have you ever encountered a thin place between heaven and earth? A place where you walk in and you go, oh, God's here. It's as if there's just this paper-thin veil between heaven and earth in that particular place. This is one of those places yesterday, a thin place between heaven and earth where you could feel God's presence. We tend to think of heaven spatially, don't we? Even though we know that heaven isn't far off through outer space, you can't get on the space shuttle, you can't fly in a rocket, you can't get on the Millennium Falcon and fly and somehow get to heaven. But we still tend to think of heaven spatially. But the Bible doesn't talk about heaven in those ways. Yes, it uses the words like up and above, but it also speaks of the kingdom of God being at hand. It's present. We see moments in Scripture, like when Christ is transfigured on the mountain, where heaven and earth have come together in this beautiful way, where that thin veil has been lifted. And in the reading from Acts and the ascension of Christ, we see this thin place again. Heaven and earth are together in this moment as Christ leaves this earth and enters into the throne room of heaven. We await his return. Every Sunday we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We wait for Christ to come, yet we know that Christ is reigning. The ascension of Jesus is a vital understanding for us. We need to know what is happening here at the ascension because it matters to you and to me as followers of Jesus. First, the ascension is a coronation event. Some of you, I'm sure Deacon Jeff, watched the recent coronation. The ascension is the coronation of the true king, Christ coming home from his excursion on earth, where he saves humanity through his sacrifice, through his conquering of death. The king returns and he sits at the mighty right hand of the Father. Listen to this from 1 Timothy. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Paul is writing to Timothy, telling him to flee the things of the world. And he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so listen. Paul is giving Timothy a charge. Like Christ, you confess, you fight the good fight, you stand firm in your faith, following the commandments. And then he goes on and he says this, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Christ is King. Christ is Lord of Lords. And we owe our allegiance only to Jesus Christ and to nothing else. Christ is our King, and he sits on the throne, reigning from heaven, because he ascended from here to take his role as King. This matters to you and me. Our allegiances can't be split. We can't bow down to one king, earthly king, or bow down to one earthly idol. We can only bow our knees to Jesus Christ. He is the one we serve. Paul writes in Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we see Lord Jesus Christ written in Scripture, folks, the Roman authorities took this as treasonous words. In the Roman Empire, there was no Lord but Caesar. No one should be spoken of as Lord but Caesar. And Christians boldly proclaimed, no, Jesus Christ, not Caesar, is whom we bow our knee. That's whom we serve. The ascension matters because it tells us who our King is. The ascension matters. Because in the ascension, we are told that Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, now intercedes for you and for me continuously without end. Romans 8:24. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. In Hebrews it's written, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Oftentimes, we live in shame and guilt as followers of Jesus. We mess up, and we let shame rule our life. We let the guilt that we feel for falling short of God's commandments, we let that become an idol in our life. Shame and guilt shapes us. But folks, you have nothing to feel shame and guilt over, because Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you, covering you with his blood at all times. Yes, when we fall short. Yes, when we sin, we are to feel a sense of guilt. But in that guilt, that should send us right back to the cross, reminding us that we are forgiven. And that no matter how much we fall short, we are still children of God. You are sons and you are daughters of the Most High King. The King is not just, you are not just a subject of the King whom you bow down to. You are also his prince. You are also his princess. And Christ sits and intercedes on your behalf, so that when you do fall, when you do mess up, when you do fall back into sinful ways, Christ is interceding on your behalf, pulling you back to him. Lift your head up high and know that you are a son or a daughter. Live in guilt and shame no more. You are loved. The King of Kings loves you dearly and passionately, as your knee bows down before him, hear his words. You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. The ascension matters because Christ is coronated as our King, and because he is constantly interceding for you. For you. For you. Don't just hear that as a collective you. You all. There's no y'all in the Bible. Christ is interceding for you by name. Joey, how's that possible? There's billions of people in the world. How is Christ interceding for me by name? Because Christ is God. Christ is divine. Christ is outside of the boundaries of space and time. Time means nothing to him. When you and I sit down and we pray for people through a list and we go through and we say, and I pray for this person, this person, this person, it takes 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 30 minutes. But Christ lives in heaven outside of time. He can pray for all of us by name, interceding for us. Hear it. Hear Christ interceding for you. Always and at all times. How incredible is that? That the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords knows you by name. Oh, the ascension matters. With Christ interceding for us, as he sits in heaven upon his throne, in the ascension, Jesus also sends the church out. You see, Satan wants you to stew in your guilt and shame. Satan wants you to grow comfortable and to stay put among other people of like minds. He wants what some theologians have called the holy huddle, where we as Christians just huddle together. We pat ourselves on the back for being holy and righteous, but we don't actually go into the world as sent ones. Did you know you were a sent one? You are a missionary into this world. You have the responsibility of the great commission that Christ gives to the apostles. Before his ascension, the last thing he speaks in Matthew 28, is all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is not just for those disciples that were gathered there right as Christ was ascending. It's not just for those that were there that heard those words proclaimed. The Great Commission is for each and every single one of us. And what does he say? Jesus says, all power and authority has been given to me. But then we see throughout Scripture that he gives that power and authority to his followers. When he sends out the 72, when he sends out the apostles into the mission field, he says, I give you power to cast out demons, to heal the sick. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have been given that authority as well. You have power over the demonic realm in this world. You have power to pray for healing for people, body, soul, spirit, mind. Yet so much of the church sits around in our holy huddles, not brave enough to step forth. But our King has been crowned. He intercedes for us. He gives us the command to be sent out, and he makes a way for us. In the ascension, Jesus says that unless I go, you can't have the Holy Spirit. It is only in Jesus' ascension that we are able to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can go out and follow the Great Commission. I love this comparison in Scripture. Elijah and Elisha, or Elisha, are prophets. Elijah is Elisha's mentor, and Elijah's about to go to heaven. And it says this, Elisha says to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." So what's the condition of Elisha receiving a double portion of what Elijah had as a prophet of God? It's to watch him go into heaven, right? All right, so what happens? Elijah goes off in chariots of heaven. "And as they were still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, 'My father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And he saw him no more." And Elisha received a double portion of God's spirit and went on to be a great and mighty, powerful prophet in the kingdom of God. On the day of the ascension, we get this picture again of someone ascending into heaven. And this time it's not just a prophet, but it's Jesus himself. And we are explicitly told that the disciples were staring into heaven. Listen. "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were still gazing into heaven as they went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes." Luke, who is the writer of Acts, is absolutely making sure that we see the connection between Elijah and Elisha and this moment of the ascension. That just like Elisha watches Elijah go up into heaven, the disciples are watching, and then what happens? The day of Pentecost comes. And the apostles and the women and the other disciples gathered in the upper room are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that at Christ's proclamation in his life, when he said, "You will do greater things than these," this comes true. God is at work in you. God is at work in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, but you have to receive it and be open. The Holy Spirit is at work in every believer. But some of us, through our own faults, our own sinfulness, our own stubbornness, we don't allow the Spirit to move the way he could and the way he should. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Next week is Pentecost, and we'll talk more about the Holy Spirit then. But I would be remiss if I did not encourage you now to receive what Christ has promised. The ascension matters because Christ was coronated as king. The ascension matters because Christ intercedes for us. The ascension matters because in the ascension he has sent us. And the ascension matters because in the sending, he does not send us out unarmed, but he sends us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we can be a church that is a world changer. or we can be a church that becomes a holy huddle. I don't want to be a holy huddle church. I want to be a church that's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a church that changes the course of the world. Not for the sake of being braggadocious so that we can go around saying, oh, look what our church did. But so that we can see the lost saved. We can see the dying receive life. So that we can encounter those sacred and holy thin places and bring others with us so that they can meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Nothing matters more than that. So receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with His might and be sent into the world, bringing the good news of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with you. Amen. Let's stand.